Coming up on BYU Basketball with Mark Pope, the madness of March is just around the corner, and it's our regular season finale as the Cougs return home for a senior night send-off versus Oklahoma State. Our guest tonight is junior standout Fuseni Traore. He'll join Coach Pope and me in Studio C. Coming up next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU Basketball with Mark Pope, presented by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years.
Hello, good evening once again, Cougar Nation, for the final time in the 2023-24 college basketball season. Welcome back inside Studio C at the BYU Broadcasting Building on the Brigham Young University campus in Provo, Utah, for our final broadcast of BYU Basketball with Mark Pope for this year. It's your weekly hour-long look inside the BYU men's basketball program with the players and coaches and staff. Great to have you joining us both here in studio and live and on demand via the BYU TV and BYU radio apps and Big 12 Now on ESPN+. Coming up on our final show of the year, we will look back on a wild weekend win over TCU at the Marriott Center. We will then revisit last night's visit to Hilton Coliseum as BYU played at Iowa State. Deep Blue will feature former Cougar and current director of basketball operations, Nate Austin. Fuseni Traore will be joining us live in studio. We'll have a Q&A session for the guys, our always enjoyable game night segment, some BYU basketball trivia, and we'll look ahead to Saturday's senior night showdown against Oklahoma State. One last time this season, let's welcome in the head coach of your nationally ranked BYU Cougars, Mark Pope. Hello. Good to see you. Good.
So I guess they told me backstage that I've now been assigned to read all the cue cards because you're feeling a little loopy today.
just loopier than normal. Yeah, lack of sleep, but it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for being here. This is our last show.
It is.
Cheer.
Yeah. But what a nice pick-me-up from the audience here to get these going.
Yeah, you guys are amazing. So amazing. In fact,
yes.
I got a bunch of stuff to share.
Well, I'm so excited. But you know, we share in a certain way. Right. You can't just start sharing.
That's why I stopped myself.
Thank you, because
I have become so disciplined on this show. It's remarkable.
Thank you. This is where I now say this next segment has been the opening segment of our show from some time now. It is at the same time poignant and peculiar. Equal parts whimsy and wisdom. As heartwarming as it is humorous.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. It is the weekly answer to the question, what's on Mark's mind? What is on Mark's mind? Yeah.
What did you say? Something and peculiar?
Poignant.
Poignant and peculiar, and somehow you got whimsical in there?
Whimsy and wisdom.
That was,
you know,
that was the best intro ever.
Hey, I'm an alliteration guy.
Yes, yes.
So,
you know,
that's my default. All right.
Okay, I got a bunch. So, number one, I just learned this in the last few seconds because Tyson Jex, our brilliant SID, informed me.
And sometimes color commentator on the radio
last night. Yes. How was he emotionally last night, by the way?
He was solid, rock solid.
Was he?
Start to finish.
Yeah.
Yep.
He is. So, a massive thanks to all of you because for the first time in just about a decade, BYU has jumped back in with final numbers with a sellout on Saturday, which is confirmed, into the top 10 highest attendance in all of college basketball. Thank you guys so much. That is awesome. And apparently there's supposed to be some type of cash prize that goes out to every single person who's come to the game. That's not true.
No.
That would be expensive.
And probably illegal.
Yes.
But then again.
Maybe illegal.
You know, yes.
Especially for all of you recruiting aged individuals, that'd be problematic. But thank you guys so much. It just is, it's awesome. It is so awesome. And I will also add this, and we don't have the exact numbers, but I am incredibly beyond imagination confident that we also have the highest attendance of any Division I basketball program in the country for our coaches. So
that we can actually confirm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So thank you. Wait, hold on. And which we're going to talk about, we had a really super fantastic, wonderful experience in the second half against TCU at home. Last week, was that last Saturday?
It was Saturday, yeah.
And I think Hema's got some pictures, but it just as important, we talk about this on the show often because it's so incredibly important to us. Coaches versus it's not coaches versus, Dunk on Cancer. Headed up by I wish I had an intro prepared like yours, but I won't say whimsical or peculiar. I'll say glamorous, elegant, tough, intelligent.
Vivacious and virtuous.
Yes. Yes. Miss Leanne Pope, where they presented to the Simmons Center for Cancer Research a check valued at $1.222 million for this year. For the Simmons Center for Cancer Research. So a big, huge kudos. So we got home, and the game was exhilarating. It was incredible. It was so fantastic. And Leanne was... not happy, though, about the first half performance. If you remember, that may have been subpar and stressful because they presented the check at halftime, and so the crowd was less than enthused with what was happening in the gym. It would have been better if we did it post-game. But huge kudos. And do we have another picture?
Yeah, one more.
And so, someone very special to... Oh, do we have it, maybe?
I saw it in rehearsal. I know,
yep,
we've got it.
There
we go.
And so if you don't know, this is the great Dan Simmons, and he is the founder of the Simmons Center for Cancer Research, founded in, the 80s, some give or take, and is a legend here on campus, and has had the chance now to watch this organization grow exponentially. And we got to spend some time with him the other day. I think what's really special is when you can start something and then watch people like Leanne pick up the torch and move it along and make it bigger and bigger. And so Dan's legacy here at BYU is growing every single day, helping change the world. And so we just love him, man. What he started that the rest of us kind of get to pick up and be a part of is awesome. So it was super special and really incredible work. I think you're at $4 million, give or take, right now, and continue to move forward. And thank you to those of you who are helping support it through the bookstore, Dunk on Cancer paraphernalia. Mm-hmm. So thank you guys so much. We're grateful.
The ball cap, yeah. The socks, the tumbler, the hoodie.
Yeah. And it touches all of us. Leanne and I were actually at a funeral of a great man with an incredible family, Anthony Antonelli, today, who passed away from cancer a few days ago after living an extraordinary life and making great contributions to this entire world in significant ways. And
how do you know him?
He's our neighbor. We served together in our ward. We became great friends. He also is his family is really tied into BYU athletics and BYU basketball, and just really, really, like one of the most inspiring, large extended families that we've ever been around. And so it's this disease is touching all of us, and we're all making progress together. And it is a beautiful thing that we're all in this fight together. So thank you.
All right. Well, those are great things that you shared with us from your mind this week. The attendance numbers you noted, BYU has been such a great addition to the Big 12 Conference. In fact, in conference games only, just looking at the league season, BYU will be number one in the Big 12 in conference game attendance in its first year in this league.
Yeah, it's pretty extraordinary, and we fit in this league.
Absolutely.
So it's great.
Fit in every way. There was an insurance company that a few years ago began using a tagline, "Life comes at you fast." Mm. And I think that really describes Big 12 basketball pretty well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It just is nonstop, and I think that's what makes it so exhilarating. And You know, doesn't it seem like, we went on the road and beat Kansas, it seems like 2 months ago. Everything comes so fast, and we just had a, in fact, it was just last night. It was less than 24 hours ago. We were playing in an unbelievable venue. Please, if you get a chance ever to go out to Hilton Coliseum at Idaho State and get to see us battle against the great program they have there. It just was it was so incredible and so fun. And then we're on to a huge game against Oklahoma State. And what's crazy is we'll play Oklahoma State on Saturday, and then you have 2 days to prep for the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City, and it doesn't stop, and thankfully it doesn't, because when it stops, it means it's over. So let's keep going.
It's going to go for a while. The Big 12 tournament, by the way, began today in a way because the women got going today, and it'll be a week and a half of straight basketball there at T-Mobile in Kansas City. It'd be great.
And I think this is for all BYU fans. If you get a chance to go out there, it's got much more of a Final Four vibe to it. Fan bases really, really travel. And it just takes over the entire city of Kansas City, and we can't wait to be a part of it.
BYU last night set a school record. It broke a record that your first BYU basketball team here set back in 2019-20. That 2019-20 team, Coach Pope's first team at BYU, made the most threes in a single season in BYU history. Well, you broke that record last night with still one more regular season game to go.
Yeah, we're getting them up. we're definitely doing that. And actually, in our last two games, we were 27 and 28 attempts, and we haven't even crossed the 30 threshold, so that's a little distressing to us. We need to shoot it a little bit more, but it's been a key part of what our team has forced defenses to do, and it's been really fun. We're not quite shooting the same percentages as we did 5 years ago. You know, we were at 42.2% as a team. But we are compensating by being voracious on the offensive glass. It's back-to-back games. Also, we've been at 14 offensive rebounds, which is a spectacular number. I like the way we're playing. I like the way our guys are competing, and I like the way that it gives us a chance in every single game.
College basketball is pretty unique in the sports in that there's such a rhythm and a buildup to March. Mm-hmm. And everyone knows what March means in this sport. How invigorating and energizing is it to know that you've got tournament time literally just around the corner right now?
Yeah, you think about March so far for us. We had an epic comeback at home against TCU, and then we had an epic game, number 20 versus number 6 on the road at Iowa State that came down to the wire. And if this is what March is going to be for the rest of the month, you know, sign me up. This is awesome.
By the way, after one brief week away, you got back into the top 25, which made that 20 versus 6 ranking. Yes. And that's an important thing, too. Yeah. And your guys feel it when on the 1 week they didn't, weren't in the poll. It kind of like rubbed them a little bit the wrong way a little bit.
Yeah, we have several different polls. The ones that we pay most attention to are we pay attention to the net, of course, which is the official analytical sorting tool used by the NCAA. We pay attention to KenPom, which is kind of the universal. Both of those are analytics-based sorting tools. And so they kind of get away from the public perception, the eye test. They just tell you what teams are, and they become more accurate as the season goes on because you have a bigger sample size and data is sample size. And then there's the AP poll. And the AP poll is beautiful because it's 100% just, I don't know, what is it, 100 people that vote on it?
A little less than that, but yeah.
75 people, 70, 60 people that vote on it, and it's just their perception. And so it kind of goes away from analytical and just goes to how people feel and their biases and everything else. But it's a really important poll for us because we want to be a great basketball team by the numbers, but we want BYU basketball to be perceived nationally, just the perception as being a top elite program. And these guys have accomplished, they've earned the right by the country to be perceived as a top 25 team in this country all year long. And the guys should be super proud of that. And it means something to them.
I want to get to our highlights, and we'll talk about Oklahoma State in a bit later as well. But it is also a senior night coming up here in 2 days for you.
Yeah.
Tell our people here and the audience who we are honoring on Saturday night as seniors.
Well, it'll be three guys. It's Trayden Christensen, who has been a walk-on for us the last 2 years and actually played in huge games for us last year when we had some roster turnover, and has been a heart and soul, beautiful, beautiful guy for our team. He tore his ACL early in the season, so hasn't had a chance to play that much this year. And then Jackson Robinson, who everybody knows Jackson Robinson. He just is been an incredible talent here that has grown so much, and literally game to game to game, you see him adding new tools to his toolkit. Yesterday, he was so extraordinary in transition playing with force. It was really beautiful to watch. He made three plays, two in the first half and one in the second half, against massive pressure downhill that were really special. And he's been absolutely terrific. He's on several draft boards now, and so he'll make a decision after the season's over on kind of what his future looks like. But we're going to make sure and honor him. And then we're incredibly excited also about Spencer Johnson, who has had just a magnificent career by every definition. And we've, you know, on this show, we've kind of taken us through his course, but he started his first semester of college basketball after his mission at Weber State, and it didn't go exactly right, so he transferred and spent his second semester of college basketball at Utah Valley University, and that didn't go exactly right for a number of reasons, and then actually transferred to Salt Lake Community College. So it was three different schools in literally 13 months. And then had a great experience at Salt Lake Community College, ended up coming here, had an incredibly tough training camp where he sat for most of training camp and was wondering if he could ever fit into this level. And by the end of that season, if Greg remembers, we started talking about him because he was earning a lot of playing time off the bench, and he was one of those guys that I would say I could put him in the game and just forget he was out there because he was so solid defensively. And then over the course of the last 2 years, he's become one of the leaders of the team. He's become an elite level playmaker this year. Last year, he was the 13th best 3-point percentage player in the country. And along with all that, he's graduated from BYU. He started some serious activity in his real estate company. And to boot, he's married and had his first son a couple weeks ago. And if you tell me that's not what you want out of your college experience, you got to be dreaming. Like he's done it all in college, and I couldn't be more proud of these three guys.
The one thing he hasn't done with you guys is get to an NCAA tournament, right, though, and that's going to change. That'll be a really complete career,
yeah,
when that happens to
you. And I didn't even mention getting to usher us into the Big 12 for the first year, and so, you know, he's got a ton more basketball in him here at BYU and on to the future, and as clearly does Jax, these are three guys that have given so much to BYU, and we couldn't be more grateful.
So Spence, Traden, and Jax. And like you said, Jax's senior night is a bit of a contingency, yep, in that if he did choose to come back, yep, he could.
Yeah.
But we're going to see how the draft process plays out.
Yeah, yep. And he will be a major recruit also.
Yes.
We'll see how that goes.
Yes. It was only 24 hours ago, as Coach noted, that BYU was hooping it up at Hilton Coliseum in Ames, Iowa. The Cyclones and Cougars meeting for the second time in two regular season matchups. BYU won the first game in Provo, and Iowa State got one back last night. Let's take a look at some individual highlights and some team stats presented by Intermountain Health and Richie Saunders. King Richard, what do we say? He had a career-high tying 20 points in this game. 3 for 3 on threes in the first half. Gave you guys just the start you needed last night.
Yeah, Richie was great finishing at the rim. He was great cutting. He was clearly great from the perimeter, and really got us off to a great start. We shot the ball extremely well in the first half. And the thing I was most proud of, for most of the game, whether it was a great or a not a great outcome, our guys stayed aggressive against the best defense in the Big 12 and on their home floor, the number 6 team in the country. And I was really proud of that.
All right, Jax, a pull and fire and a score from three. He's the only player on this team with a three in every Big 12 game. So that's 17 consecutive games with a three. Ninth longest single streak in single season history for BYU.
And you think about those two finishes we saw, the last two highlights, how physical he was, penetrating, protecting the ball through multiple bodies, and still being able to finish at the rim. That's a slice of his game that he's adding right now. His confidence is growing in that area, and he's going to become a multiple, a three-level scorer by the time this is all done.
One of the biggest changes from Provo to Ames was the turnover number. 11 is a manageable number at your place. 17 is a little higher than you want to be against these guys.
Yeah,
17. But average for them.
17, yeah, killed us. We turned it over three out of our last five possessions. Credit Iowa State. A lot of credit goes to them. Their pursuit of the ball, their multiple player pursuit of the ball is on par with the very best. I mean, they are the very best in the country. And certainly there were moments in the game where that got to us, and we didn't respond exactly like we want to. But we still have... I think we took a ton away from this game where we continue to grow, we continue to get better, and we feel like we're playing high-level basketball.
One of the things I think about is moving forward into this year's postseason, there hardly will be a thing you could see that you haven't already seen in the Big 12.
Yeah, we're not going to see a more athletic team. We're not going to see more talented backcourts. We're not going to see more physical teams. We might see teams that are more creative or execute more on the fringes, which can always be a challenge. But, we have seen the best in this country, and we've seen them night after night after night, and we've seen every difficult venue in this country. And so we feel really prepared, and now it's a matter of us playing great basketball as we move into the postseason.
Well, last week on this show, we were looking ahead to the Cougars' lone regular season meeting with TCU. The Horned Frogs were in the Marriott Center on a memorable Saturday night. It was a tale of two halves. BYU trails by 17 at the break, then outscores TCU by 29 after halftime. Let's take a look at some individual highlights and team stats again presented by Intermountain Health. And Foos led BYU in scoring. It was a Foos night, 21 for Fuseni Traore.
Yeah, Foos was spectacular on both ends of the floor and made big plays in transition, made big plays in the post, made big plays out of the short roll. He was really physical, really patient, and was absolutely tremendous.
He was one of two players who scored 20 or more for you against TCU. Trevin Nell was the other. He had an even 20, 4-for-10 from deep. It was his third career game with 20 or more points.
Yeah, and Trev just got us going in the second half. You know, we came out of halftime, a little bit shaky and a little bit trying to figure things out. And so Trev's like, yep, get me the ball. And just really, really went to work for the three-point line to start the second half and kind of inspired the whole team with a little bit of confidence.
Dallin Hall had one of those special nights for a point guard. 7 assists to only 1 turnover. He was also 3-for-5 from deep. Ends up with a 12-6-7 line with that 1 turnover, points, rebounds, and assists.
Yeah, Dallin was not happy with me after the game because he really had an absolute factual 7-0 game, 7 assists, 0 turnovers. But there were 34 seconds left, and TCU kind of stopped. And so I'm just like, guys, just hold the ball, and we'll take the turnover. And Dallin gallantly took one for
the
team
and
kept the ball in his hands. But he really had a 7-0 game,
and
he deserves that. You could blame that one on the coach
for
sure.
Did not even think about
this
that.
This etiquette, man, is just really tough.
Took the shot clock violation. Richie Saunders, meantime, 11 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, a plus 19. And a heart and soul game for you.
You know, the first clip, I wish we could run it back because it's actually Richie is catching a move and he goes and puts two hands on the ball. And there's actually a still photo floating around. After he rips the ball out of his hands, the offensive player actually grabs Richie's head in a bear hug in the still shot of it. It's pretty incredible. And that's how Richie frustrates opponents because he plays so hard. He's a gift to BYU.
And it was one of the, you know, we use the phrase Marriott Center magic, and it was in effect that night, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And you know, we don't win those, you know, much like I think Iowa State would say about last night, they don't win that game without their home crowd, which was tremendous. We don't win that game versus TCU without our home crowd, and that's why home court advantage is so huge in the Big 12.
All right, that was a jam-packed first segment. It is break time. As we break, your reminder that your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation with Spencer and Jerem. Noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, Fuseni Traore will join us in studio, and we'll go deep blue with Nate Austin. Stay with us at BYU Basketball. Mark Pope continues.
BYU Basketball with Mark Pope is presented by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years, and Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics.
Welcome back to BYU Basketball with Mark Pope. It is our season finale. Well, throughout his career, Nate Austin has learned fundamental life skills on and off the court that have served him well. Now, he has the opportunity to share these valuable life lessons with the next generation of BYU players. Here now, Deep Blue profiling BYU's Director of Basketball Operations, Nate Austin.
Coach Lewis was, very detailed. She expected, not perfection, but he expected you to get it right. I feel like at Lone Peak, I learned kind of who I was and, kind of what I could bring and gain some confidence.
The coaches gave Nathan kind of that vision. This is what's required, and this is what's being offered, and Nate was a hard worker, and he worked hard for them.
He learned to be part of a team. He learned that there was something more important than me individually.
Moving on to BYU, I got there, right for my mission, and ultimately, I'm not sure I can play this level. I was a little nervous, and when I got there, I was like, everything that Coach Lewis taught me in high school, I can just apply it here, and it was a pretty seamless transition.
He tried really hard to just give it his all. That, I think, also speaks to the fact that he holds the record for most games played at BYU.
He had graduated in communications. He was working in advertising. He was a good soldier. He was doing what was asked of him, but you could tell he did not like it.
He was working full-time, and then he was being an assistant coach with Coach Bromley at Lone Peak. And when he'd come back from practice, he was happy. He was so fulfilled. That's where he just, like, lit up. Everything was great.
And I think that was maybe the aha moment when he was first starting out just as an assistant to the staff at Lone Peak High School. Oh, I love coaching.
But yet that wasn't paying the bills. So it was, you either need to go all in on coaching and make this your career and your job, or you've got to find some other job that's going to help you be fulfilled in life, because that part of his life was making him miserable.
One of the pieces of advice I gave to Nathan, I said, I watched, and I'm biased because I'm his dad, but I said, you're good at this. And I told him, bet on Nate. Bet on Nate.
It was kind of this, what do I need to be doing? Where should I go? And so I encouraged him to talk to Coach Rose and look into being a graduate assistant coach. So he had about, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks to apply, to take the GRE and get everything ready so that he could be prepared for that season.
I don't think he was very excited to go back to school. I think that was necessary as part of the process. He doesn't mind school, didn't mind education, but he really wanted to, what he really was doing this for, because he wanted to be a coach.
I was a graduate assistant for Coach Rose's last year and then Coach Pope's first year. And so from a selfish standpoint, it was an unbelievable opportunity to see how two big time, just great coaches did things. And they've done things totally different, and both of them are extremely successful. And so it also showed me that, hey, there's not maybe one cut and dry way to be successful.
As he concluded his time at BYU, good experience. He really was debating about whether to try and find a job at the college level or go to high school.
Nate loved his high school experience. He loved coaching at that level, and we thought it was the perfect time to maybe go down, get some head coaching experience. We were living at my parents' house at the time. We found an opening up in Grantsville. I had no idea where it was, and so he applied. He went out there. They offered him the job during the interview. That's the direction everything ended up going.
He was anxious to just form that program like he'd been taught by his coaches at Lone Peak, his coaches at BYU. So he's had lots of great examples to draw from and learn from, but also then to just not try to be Quincy Lewis or Mark Pope, or not try to be Dave Rose, just to be Nate, to take the things that he's learned from them, but then to be authentically you.
Nate took that opportunity at the high school level to really set and instill values in these high schoolers. He really wanted to help build them up as young men.
I mean, ultimately, I feel like it's my responsibility. God has given me unbelievable people in my life to help shape me and help me grow into who I've become. And ultimately, I think it's my responsibility to go be the person for somebody else. This game and this career is about making sure people feel loved and giving people a home and giving people, you know, helping them find, you know, friendships and relationships, and then ultimately about becoming a better husband, a better father, a better son, a better employee. And if the game has taught them that through working with me and through coming through our program, then I've been successful.
He ran his program in a way to make sure that it wasn't just about basketball, because to Nate, it isn't just about basketball.
It was fun to watch that team kind of take on his personality. They played hard. He coached at Grantsville for 3 years, good success, 2 region championships. They took 3rd in state twice and 2nd once. Summer after his 3rd season at Grantsville, he did have a significant choice. I think he was feeling like if he ever wanted to go to the college level, he needed to do it sooner rather than later.
We told Grantsville, hey, we're stepping down, we're going the college route, and we went all in on pursuing college.
As soon as we found out that was a possibility, I was overjoyed. This is where he belongs, and he is crushing it for us right now. He's doing an incredible job, and he's got a great future as a coach.
I think in a role like director of basketball operations, it does demonstrate his character.
He's fine with being not in the spotlight and doing his job and doing it super well. And I think that's just part of the love that he has, you know? Like, he doesn't need the attention or the gratitude. He's just out here doing his job because he cares about what's going on here at BYU, and he wants to put forth his best work every day.
I see it as, hey, we will be ultimately the most successful if we're doing this together.
She's been with me every step of the way. She's been so just, I think, supportive and encouraging to find what I'm passionate about. And she said, hey, if we make less money because you love coaching, then she's like, I'd rather live with a happy Nate than a Nate that makes, you know, a lot more money.
It's been great because he's just as supportive of me as I feel like I've been able to be for him. And that's ultimately what makes this work. College coaching is a lot of work. It's a lot of time. But we found ways to make it fun for our family.
I wouldn't be where I am today, you know, in my career as a coach, as a father, as a husband without her, because she has shown me what real love looks like, what real encouragement looks like, what real support looks like, what real sacrifice looks like. She is just a great inspiration and a great support and encouragement to me.
I feel in my heart that this is about a lot more than just a sport. It's something that means a lot to our family.
In our family, all of our kids have grown up going to all the BYU games, and our youngest daughter, who's now a freshman at BYU, was about this big when we finished doing Nate postgame one time on the radio, and he got finished, and she was around him and talked to him a little bit, and then he left, and she asked, what if Nate's the tallest person in the world? he's not that tall, but he's pretty tall. Yeah. I love Nate, and I'm so glad that he's part of your program.
Yeah, he is. He is doing an unbelievable job, and one of the things I love about his story is that he, he's taken three huge leaps of faith, like massive leaps of faith. The most recent one being, you know, before we had ever talked about having a position open here at BYU, he just said, I'm burning the ships. I'm telling my high school that I'm moving on to chase college opportunities, and had nothing, right? And you know, that's in this profession and so many professions, that's kind of the fortitude and faith that you have to do it. And he's done that three times now in his young career, and he's got a huge future.
He's so really awesome. Good. Well, our special guest tonight in studio is BYU's career leader in field goal percentage already. He has shot 50% or better in 14 of his last 15 games this season. He is a force on the floor and an always smiling presence off of it. When he makes a great play, you will hear the sound of foos fill the Marriott Center. Maybe we do that now as we bring in from Bamako, Mali, Fuseni Traore.
This is you. No, it's water.
It's it's just water. Welcome back. It is so good to have you.
I'm happy I'm here too.
Yeah, you feel the love from Cougar Nation, don't you?
It is cool, yeah. Appreciate that. Yeah.
How fun is it when you do hear the rumbling of foos through a big building like the Marriott Center?
It's one of the best feeling ever, you know, since the first time, you know. Now you actually feel great.
Awesome. Yeah. Special season for BYU so far, hasn't it been?
Yeah.
How do you describe the year so far that we've gone through?
No, so far so good. It's just been amazing, you know. And like the coaches always talk about how great we are, you know. Like we're just in the good spot, you know. And we just got to keep up the good work. Yeah, we got a lot to go, you know. A lot to improve, you know.
When you sit next to this fellow, as you're with him all the time, Do you just get? I feel like he smiles, you smile, we all smile. Yeah. I think you've called him a beautiful human being before.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on this guy?
Well, he's special. Like he's really special. He, you know, it's if there was somebody that you could have your kids grow up to emulate in terms of having integrity and being honest and being a massively hard worker. In fact, Samantha is one of his tutors who is so fantastic, right?
Yes.
And so they came straight here. They had to close their books and come straight here, and they're probably going straight back to go back to work in terms of his devotion and his faith and his mentality of being a great teammate and his boldness and courage and coming to this country and trying to create a life for him and his family and community, and in terms of his big heart, his charitable heart, about trying to make Bamako, Mali, Kati, Mali a better place and also make BYU a better place. And I could go on. It's pretty impressive.
Appreciate it, yeah.
Thanks for it.
Cool.
I'm sure there was a time when you had no idea what BYU meant in any way, and now a few years later, how do you describe what BYU means to you now?
Now BYU actually means a lot to me, you know. Like it's feel like it's home for me, you know. Like there is a lot of places, but I never feel anything like what people are doing, you know, like everybody is just like, I'm just super grateful to know everybody, you know, like how actually kind of treat, you know, like it's just special. Yeah, it's special to be here. Yeah. Mm. I'm grateful for sure.
And fans are grateful for you. This season began great, and then you couldn't play basketball for a few weeks with your boys because you had a hamstring injury.
Yep.
How tough was that time of the year for you?
Oh, man, it was actually super crazy, you know, for sure. You know, like, I actually didn't know I loved basketball until that happened, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like everything just hurt, you know. But, yeah, now I'm actually happy I'm back, you know. So, yeah, I'm just super grateful, you know.
Yeah.
I was able to get healthy, you know, and come back and play again.
You already had Atiki and Noah that you were working with, and then you bring in Ali Khalifa to the big man equation.
Yep.
How do you describe what Ali brings to the room, if you will, of the bigs, and how special a player do you think he is?
Oh, no, he's crazy, you know, because the whole thing started in practice, you know. Sometimes he do some passes, I say, how did the boy even get there, you know, like, it just doesn't make any sense, you know. And I just been telling him, I say, man, you make those look easy, man. You just a fool. You just gotta pass it, you know. I say, it doesn't work that way, man. But I say, maybe it does work for you like that, you know, but he say it doesn't, you know. But he's been teaching me some stuff, you know. He say, well, you gotta look if there is a bottom, you know, like, if there is no help, you know, how you can place the passes, you know. Now it's been amazing, you know, but.
Do you see that instruction happening?
Well, no, and totally. So Foose actually, I think four games ago, threw his first around the body pass, like, which is an Ali special kind of design.
Yeah.
Last night, Foose had a big time dime. Like, you can see these guys are teaching each other skills. Foose has been working really hard with Ali on teaching him a quick. And Ali's quick is a little bit slower and a little bit flatter, but nonetheless. And so these guys comparing notes is really special. They're helping each other become better
super
players.
Super fun, you know. Yeah, we actually play against each other like 8 years ago.
Eight years ago?
Yeah, me and Ali. Yeah, it was.
What kind of competition was it?
It was African Cup U16. Yep. You know, it was 2017 or 16. Yeah, it was 17. Yeah, we played in the African Cup Championships. You know.
Egypt versus Mali.
Yeah, Egypt versus Mali. You know, so we actually did talk about that, like, you know.
Who got the best of who? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, we won.
Okay. That's actually why Foose brought it up, actually. Hey, was
that a little scoreboard?
Was that when the pool happened?
Yeah.
If you ever told the story, would you feel comfortable telling the story?
Oh,
was that when the pool happened?
That was actually when the pool, yeah. That was.
If you feel comfortable,
I'd love
for you to tell the story.
We actually went to a hotel, you know, because we were going for a national team preparation, you know. And there was actually a swimming pool, you know. And I never swim before. I thought it's just going to be easy, you know. So I just take all my clothes and just jump in, you know. And, oh, man, I drink a lot of water that day, you know. Yeah, I was actually happy some of my teammates was there, you know, that was able to save me, you know, grab each other's hand. And pull them out of the water, you know? Oh, man. Yep.
Well, thank goodness you have a basketball career because of that, I think, at this point.
Wait, can we do food story time? Because it's hard for me. I don't know if you've ever said this publicly. Can we talk about day one of driving?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So just understand, please understand, like, when I say, like, if you ever get a chance to know this young man, he will bless your life. And he's also great stories. Tell this one. This is so good, guys. Merry Christmas from me to you.
Well, that was actually, I got my car. It was around 4 o'clock, you know. And Mike, actually, the one who brought me here, he invited the whole team, you know, to go watch. We went to actually watch Top Gun, you know. And that night, it was me and Atiki, you know. I couldn't figure out how to turn on the light, you know.
So after the movie,
after
they come
the
out.
Movie, you know, it was around 11, you know, and
the lights were on.
I think you said the light is on.
No, couldn't figure out how to turn on.
I couldn't figure out how to turn on the light.
Oh,
the light, you know.
Headlights.
Okay.
But I think it's a fuss. I can see the light. I said, I think you share. I said, there is no light. It's a fuss. There is a light. I said, okay, cool, and we start driving, you know, and there was actually a cop behind me, you know. And actually been following up for 5 minutes, you know. I said, there is a cup because, you know. And he finally pull up his ladder and we park, you know, and he said, you know, you've been driving for your life. I say, yeah, actually, no, I just couldn't figure it out how to turn off my ladder, you know. And he actually helped me, yeah, turn up. And
yes.
But I'm glad he didn't give me a ticket. He just got me one. So that was nice.
But he did help you out, you know? Yeah.
So the best thing is, I just wish I could have been in the back seat after the police officer went, because I know Foos turned to Atiki and be like, I told you that we're all right.
Atiki said you were good to go, didn't
Atiki,
he?
Yeah, I know. It was just so funny. We was discussing for like 2 minutes, you know. I said, there is no light.
There's no light, because there's light.
I think he said, Foos, I can see the light right there, you know. I said, okay, cool. So that was so funny, though.
Thank you for sharing.
Oh, yeah.
We actually have like 10 more of those stories, but we're going to make you come back next year to hear those.
The chemistry and closeness of this team seems pretty unique and pretty special, too. Is that fair to say?
No, it is really close super group. Amazing for sure, you know. Like, even in the locker room, you can just see it, you know, like everybody actually got each other back, you know, no matter what, you know. It's just like amazing, you know. And whatever is wrong, you know, someone going to try to make you feel happy, you know, and just talk to you, you know, how they can help you, you know. It's just amazing for sure.
We got to take a break here in a second, but right before the break, how excited are you for tournament time? Big 12 tournament, NCAA tournament.
Oh, I'm so hyped. Let's go.
All right, coming up next, our game night segment with Coach Pope and Foos when BYU basketball. Mark Pope continues. Stay with us. This is BYU Basketball with Mark Pope, presented by Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. For tonight's game night segment, something's fishy. So, I don't know if you've all heard this, but Fuseni Traore is an accomplished angler, master fisherman.
True.
I like that name, yep.
Yep, okay. So tonight we're going to play a game we call Something's Fishy.
Oh.
Based on a common expression means something's not quite right. Mm-hmm. You say it's fishy, right? We're going to give you three facts about a teammate.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Two are false or fishy, and one is true.
This is great.
You've got to fish out the true fact. You tell us the true fact. Two are fishy, one is true.
Cool.
And we're going to start with Atiki. Ali Atiki.
Oh, boy.
Three facts about Atiki. He played lacrosse in high school. He sold stolen basketballs. And his favorite food is powdered donuts. Which of those is true of those three?
You know which one.
Wow, which one is true?
That's the question. Yes.
maybe the last one?
Actually, Atiki came on this show and told the story how he borrowed basketballs. Let's someone say borrowed them. And that's tense.
He told the story about when he first started playing.
Yeah.
He would go and he's like, he didn't want to play, but he would just take the basketballs and go sell them.
All right. Teammate
exactly,
number two
is
Trey Stewart.
Uh-huh.
Three facts about Trey. Fact one, he's an adjunct fashion professor at BYU. Number two, his favorite band is Creed. Or C, he got a C grade in sewing last semester. Which fact is true about Trey Stewart?
The last one.
The last one is correct. He got a C.
Yes.
A C in sewing.
Yes.
How does that happen?
Yes.
That's not possible.
Yeah.
That is a hard grader. Teammate number three, Ali Khalifa.
Mm-hmm.
Something's fishy about Ali. Three facts about Ali. His sister is an international soccer star. Two, he's been to every continent. Or three, he learned English from the TV show How I Met Your Mother.
Wow.
Which one is true?
The last one.
The last one is right. Yes, he came on this show and told us. By the way, his sister was a great basketball player here in the States for Cincinnati.
Yeah.
All right, teammate number four, Jackson Robinson, has a dog named Astro, wanted to be an astronaut, and hates ice cream.
This is the first one.
The first one. Dog named Astro is accurate. How do you know that?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Because he's actually always talking about that dog, you know. Yeah.
All right. Last one's Coach Pope.
You better get this right.
Fact number one, he played for the Bulls, Chicago Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Fact number two, he studied medicine. Or fact number three, he worked for David Letterman, the TV star.
The second one.
The second one, studied medicine, that is accurate. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
And
Coach played in the NBA.
I actually do remember that story, you know, when I was thinking about doing doctor, you know.
Yeah. Being a doctor?
It was actually after he's done playing, he started, like, go do medicine, but after he stopped, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do remember that story.
And, of course, you did play in the NBA, but your teams were?
Foose always teases me about being a dropout also. He's like, Coach, why you tell me to stay in school? You dropped out. Nope, did not play for the Bulls.
Who are your NBA teams?
The Pacers, Indiana Pacers, Milwaukee Bucks, New York Knicks, and the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, that's cool.
Now, the Letterman question does have a connection to Coach Pope. His wife worked for David Letterman. Yes. Leanne Pope worked for David Letterman. He's famous. He's a big deal.
But here's the thing. Yeah. Foose doesn't know who David Letterman is, do you?
Nah, man.
Yeah, you should.
Okay, you go.
You should.
You go Google him. Yeah. All right, we come back. Q&A for the coach and Foose is BYU basketball. Mark Pope continues. Stay with us.
That was really good.
Good job, man.
That's my favorite thing.
Families for over 30 years. OctoHealth. Decode your DNA, design your destiny. And Ken Garf. We hear you.
Welcome back to BYU Basketball with Mark Pope. Let's get to tonight's Q&A segment presented by Ken Garf. This hour's flown by, so we only have a short minute for this segment. We've got Megan on the mic with a question for Foose. Megan, take it away.
Hi, yeah, this question is for Foose. So my roommate was in a country swing dance class with you last semester, and we were wondering how that experience was for you and if you'd be willing to show us some moves.
Yes, I'll be willing, yeah.
You said you'd be willing?
Yep.
Let's go.
Wait, you might need a partner.
We'll extend this. Can you be a partner? We need a partner. Can you do it? Yes? Yes, yes.
Well, we can do.
We haven't practiced.
Well, let's do some swing dancing.
Okay, yeah.
Let's go. Go on. Two. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I love it. This guy. We got to get to break with this trivia question. Question is, how many NCAA tournament appearances has BYU made? The answer coming up after this break. Stay right with us. Welcome back to BYU Basketball with Mark Pope. Here's tonight's trivia question. Question is, how many NCAA tournament appearances has BYU made? The answer here is 30. It's going to be 31. That's the 27th most all-time among all Division I schools, 30 NCAA tournaments. All right. Know the Foe, it's BYU and Oklahoma State. Know the Foe is brought to you by OctoHealth. Decode your DNA, design your destiny. Second meeting in 3 weeks between these two teams. The Cougs look to split the season series as Oklahoma State won at Stillwater. This game is back in Provo Saturday at 7 o'clock. Speaking of which, here's the broadcast schedule. Oklahoma State and BYU, 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 o'clock Mountain Time with a 6 o'clock radio pregame on BYU Radio. And then you can watch the game on Big 12 Now on ESPN+. We've got 90 seconds in our show and our season. So, Foose, mm-hmm. Big 12 tournament and NCAA tournament just around the corner.
Yeah.
But you want to finish things out right. And you want to do it for your seniors, too. How special will Saturday be, do you think, for your team?
No, actually been super special. We only got one Spence, yes? Yeah. Only Spence, you know? So, for sure, we're going to miss him a lot, you know? But we just got to make sure it's going to be one of the best days of his life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We just got to have to play right, you know? Make, like, something special for him, you know?
Man, I'm going to be sad when it's your senior night. Mm.
It's going to, yeah. That's, I still got one more year, you know? So.
Yes, indeed. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And then, Coach, too, going out the right way. It's important, right?
Yes, it is. And you know, what it's going to be Spence and Jax and TC and what those guys have done for BYU is really special, and what we've been able to share with them as a team and as a BYU community and fan base is really special. And we got a ton more basketball to play this year, and we can't wait.
It's our last show, but a lot more basketball still to come for you guys. Yeah. Foose, it's been awesome having you here. We love you, and we're so grateful for you. You're a great guest. Coach, this is the end of our season,
yep.
So I'll still be with you for the next few weeks, obviously. Yep. But thank you for a great year, and we hope it continues for as long as possible.
Guys, Greg Rubel is a gift to BYU.